Okay, we will now call to order the February 9, 2016 Special Magistrate Proceedings for the City of Daytona Beach. At the outset, I review and approve the minutes of January...
It's on.
The minutes of January 12, 2016. Do we have any announcements before we proceed with this morning's cases?
Notes on the street culture, not at this time.
All right, well, all those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying this morning's proceedings. Please step forward and be sworn.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
All right, with that, we'll proceed directly to this morning's agenda. Case number one, Precious Property Management, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
Good morning.
Please say your name, please.
I'm Angelo Bartolome. And with me, I have Mr. Ben Butera.
Mr. Butera, you going to be testifying?
Yes, sir.
Well, let me go ahead and swear you with the same thing. Please say your name for the record, please.
Ben Butera.
You raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Thank you.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. And I recognize the respondent is here, albeit late last month. And in any event, in his absence, we went and imposed a compliance date. And I'm assuming that date is now come and gone, because it's now here for the imposition of a fine. And the nature of the violation is an expired demolition permit. And I'm sure we're going to find out there's more to it than that. So with that, let's hear from the city first, as far as the relief as it's being requested.
Good morning, Mr. Pelletier. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city. As you've indicated, I'm sure I don't need to give you any history on this. We've been going at this case for some time. This is expiration of a demolition permit. The city's position has been that the property, as with any of our demolition permits, once the permit is obtained, the property must be restored to the original condition that's cleared with grassed and put, as I said, restored. One of the principal issues you may recall that we've been having is that it also includes the removal of a sign that's has been of issue. What we've repeatedly gone over is the respondent's indication that he's working on another project and has been asking for a delay. As of today, the last report I have from the inspector is that there is no permits pulled, there's no action taken, he hasn't heard from him, and we're where we've been. Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. And tender Mr. Klieg, if you have any other factual, but I believe that's all the facts we have.
What's the fine the city is suggesting should be imposed?
The city is requesting a $200 per day fine to a maximum of $25,000. And as a just so the record's clear, this has been going on since August of 2015.
Okay, what say the respondent?
Just to let you know, I have the bank information here. Since August or before August, I've been working with the SBA loan. Until now, I'm still working with them. And they can attest to you that they've been processing this loan since then. So if you would like, I have their information here to verify that they have been working on this loan since then. And it's still on progress. So I have.
You submitted a site plan to the city for their consideration for whatever improvements.
Well, Mr. Butera is working with a civil engineer.
Your Honor, we have a civil engineer, Harry Newkirk, is working on the site plan. We did have a site plan for the city, but then the city changed its requirement for this property. It's requiring that we have on-site retention on A1A. Which is a first, and it's impacted the site quite a bit. So we're re-engineering the site now. We're not finished re-engineering the site, but it's going to take a redesign and plans for future development on the site, because it's a large site, and the building we're putting on there leaves room for addition. So we're working with the civil engineer to do that. Unfortunately, we're not working that fast because it's taken 6 months to get this loan in place. And it's an SBA loan, and as you know, it takes a long time. We're still engaged as the architects. We still have a civil engineer working on the project. It's just unfortunate that the banks are so slow to give these types of loans. And that's really the reason for the delay, the bank. And I don't know where the status is, but maybe if we could find out what the status is and get a time frame. Usually they take 6 to 9 months, SBA loans. And we're at the six months
period.
We're at 6 months right now. The site, I don't think, is a danger because it's fenced. There's grass there. The city wants us to remove the parking, but the parking is something we're going to utilize for the new development. So it would be foolish for us to remove it and then put it back. And that's the reason that we feel reluctant to take away what's there. I don't think it's oppressive visually because it's a fenced site and there's grass there. So there's nothing that's dangerous on the site, we don't believe, because the building has been removed. The demo has been completed. So it's only, unfortunately, we're a victim of circumstance and economics. We have the bank who's repeatedly come back, and my client has provided them information, but banks are slow to give commercial loans, and it's simply that. Yeah.
Okay. Does this new development anticipate the use of this sign that I keep hearing about?
Yes, sir. We're still planning to use the sign. I had removed the name that you asked me to before, so that way I don't have any issue with the city code. So, but the post is still going to be used for my future sign.
Okay, Mr. City Attorney, why should I fine these folks $200 a day? Humor me.
Ms. Fekelger, our criteria for consideration of fines are based on the efforts of the violator to come into compliance. The
You're not satisfied with the efforts of the violator to come into compliance today?
That's correct. And if we go all the way back to...
Give me the history lesson. Understand that. I'm trying to understand the $200 per day.
And even at this moment, the request to maintain the sign doesn't meet the current sign codes. It would be, right now, it's a non-conforming sign. And so we understand why someone would try and hold on to that.
That's
but this has been an... indefinite delay in this situation, in that we've been sitting, as you know, for a very long time with the same resolution and the same promise. And a promise of a future use is a hope until it's actually going forward, and it just hasn't happened.
The architect, as I understand it, has indicated that a site plan was submitted. Is that your recollection?
Previously, and I'd have to look to the inspector, but I kind of remember that. I believe that's correct. In the past, and it was denied.
Right. And the architect suggested that this property being on A1A now requires on-site retention, which is something relatively new. Is that true, too?
Again, I'd have to, if you want to come over, I'll tell you Mr. Click is acknowledging that as truth, okay. Yes.
And is that something that's...
Stay.
I guess maybe this is a question for the architect. Is this something curable, or is this a deal killer? I mean, if you're not going to be able to do it, and you're not going to be able to work your way around it, I don't know why you're taxing my equitable powers.
No, we are able to do it. The client had to understand that he doesn't have as much developable property as he had before. Usually when you have retention on a site, it takes one-third of the site for retention. As a norm. And because the property is large, we can do it physically. We had to convince the client that it was feasible and that any future addition would be much less than he had anticipated. That's all. So it's an economic decision to go ahead. And he made that decision to go ahead.
When did you discover the need for the on-site retention?
It was about 3 months ago, I believe.
And how new a development is this? I mean, where does this on-site retention requirement come from?
I don't know. I don't know why they're doing it.
Is it a matter of interpretation, or is it a matter of...
My understanding is that it's a new city requirement for properties along A1A. I don't understand it. I think it's non-development. I think it's anti-development. I think it's going to hurt a lot of properties. I think it's going to hurt a lot of development.
Well, I'm asking you right now, where does it come from? What's your understanding is where it emanates from?
Yeah, it's the city of Daytona Beach changed its rules.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I don't need to put you on the spot, but are you of the opinion that what they've done is improper, wrong, and or inequitable?
Yes. If I were a developer, I would question it. This is a small property, and he doesn't have the means or the project to question that. But we're talking to other clients on A1A. Who are sitting back to see what happens when it gets questioned, because it's anti-development. As I said, retention on the site is usually one-third of the property's area.
So this requirement, as I understand it, which I guess what you're telling me is kind of derailed your site plan.
It did.
Momentarily.
That's correct.
You're telling me this was a new requirement that's come about in the last 3 months.
Yes.
And but for that, you would have thought you would have been further down the line as far as your site plan?
Well, we would have picked up 3 months to go to the bank with an approved plan, because the bank is requiring, the bank is very stringent, and they're requiring an approved plan from the city to qualify for the loan.
I don't mean to be redundant here, but I'm no land use lawyer, but where does this requirement come from? Is this a new ordinance that's been passed by the city commission? Is this an interpretation by the Building and Zoning Department?
We were told by Building and...
Is it an arbitrary thing, in your opinion, that somebody has just come up with that you're being subjected to?
Well...
I mean, I'm not trying to cater a lawsuit here. I guess what I'm trying to understand is if you've got a... I'll try to help you here. I'm trying to understand if you've got a plausible explanation to give me as to why your client has been unable to come into compliance due to a change in circumstances that was beyond your control. Because if that's the case... Then I'm not finding anybody.
I think that's the case for the delay, yes, to answer your question. I think we've lost 3 months because of that.
We also met the people downstairs.
Okay, well, before we go slathering egg all over my face going forward, you're telling me that rather than challenging this requirement, you're going to try to work your way around it.
Yeah, we looked into it. We were told by an attorney that, you know, that's their new rule and you have to are subjected to it unless you go up against the city for coming up with the rule in the first place.
Well, but my point is whether you like it or not, your plan can comply with it.
Our plan can comply with it, yes.
Okay. How long will it take you to get a new site plan to the city?
Well, it's been slow because to be honest with you, some of the funds have dried up from the client because he's waiting for this SBA loan to finance both the architectural, the civil, and the mechanical design of the project. So we're kind of in a status of wait for this loan to be approved so we can get paid to move ahead.
Mr. McKelvey, if I may, the inspector report said they have submitted the site plan with the modified retention plan, and that's been denied as well.
Why has that been denied?
Why was that?
I have to speak to them. You have to speak to them.
I was told by zoning that when you submitted your site plan with the map of retention plan.
Yeah, it was a very preliminary thing we went back to them with, yeah.
And they denied that, apparently.
So. They didn't deny that? We're not aware that they did.
That's what they told me, and that's why we
was going. Was there a reason for it being denied?
Yeah, if you're going to pass this and hear from zoning, we'll be happy to bring zoning if there's someone available and environmental questions for you, Mr. Capel.
There's nothing going to tell me. They've submitted a second site plan that the city's rejected. So what the city's going to do is confirm what this gentleman's telling me as far as they're trying to move forward with the development of the property, which was the cause that we gave them for the delay to begin with.
Look.
Now, the economic circumstances, I hate to be cruel, but that doesn't mean anything to me. Everybody's got economic problems these days, so that's really not big as far as my extenuating circumstances, if you will. But playing dodgeball with the city over what's required in the way of a site plan, that's another matter.
Yeah, when we had the meeting, it was an informal meeting with staff, but we didn't get any formal letter of rejection, or and there weren't really any talk of rejection. I don't understand that.
Apparently this saga is unfolding as we speak. Okay. I know you probably can't predict this with any kind of reasonable certainty, but do you know when you're going to hear from the SBA?
They're working on their final paperwork, and then they requested some more paperwork from me yesterday. So I will be submitting it as soon as I get back to the office. And hopefully I will hear from them. Hopefully I will, you know, have my or their decision or approval by the end of this month. Hopefully.
Okay, well, what have you submitted to the SBA you planned on financing, since it appears as though that's in something of a state of flux here?
Well, basically, we submitted a financial statement to...
Did you submit the preliminary site plan?
Yes, I did. Rejected? Yes, I did. I submitted the first site plan that we had, you know, Mr. Butera.
The city's rejection due to your SBA application?
I did not submit the one with the retention pond. I submitted the very first one that I showed you from the beginning. I don't know if you recall. Because at that time, my application for SBA was submitted prior to knowing that there's a retention pond requirement.
Okay, and the nature of the violation is an expired demolition permit, meaning the demolition permit's expired and he hasn't removed the asphalt and the sign. Is that about it?
That's correct, sir.
And you haven't removed the asphalt and the sign because you want to incorporate it into your new project.
That is correct.
The project that you're trying to get off the ground.
That is correct.
And stumbling and fumbling along the way.
That is correct.
And the city wants you to fine you $200 a day.
I don't know what the justification, if I'm trying very hard to get it done.
Going to continue this matter to the next meeting. That's on March 8, 2016 for a progress report. And at that point, I'm hoping to hear what the status of this SBA application is.
Okay.
Although I'm telling you right now, that's a secondary consideration.
I understand.
As far as I'm concerned, because everybody in this town has financial hardships these days. So unfortunately,
right. That
doesn't do much for us. But I'm particularly interested in the status of the site plan and seeing some good faith on your part moving forward to develop this property.
Okay.
The minute you tell me you're not developing this property, or the minute I sniff a stall or stop in the process, then I will have no excuse but
right. To
impose a fine as requested by the city. So, forgive me, but I guess what you would say is I'm going to be keeping you on a pretty short leash because the city is also overdue a determination that it's entitled to as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be back for a progress report next month. It looks as though the architect has some questions regarding what's going on with this preliminary site plan. And you will hopefully inform us as far as the status of your application.
Yes, sir.
And I guess we'll just take it one month at a time until something happens, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, I might ask that if there is a denial, if we can get something in writing and we can know what the problem is and we can get it resolved by the time we meet.
I think it would be a prudent thing for the city to provide you, and if you were to return here next month and tell me you requested that and you haven't gotten it, then I would not foresee taking any action to stop or stall your efforts.
Thank you.
Good luck very much. Case number 2 is in compliance. Case number 3, Maryland... Carvalho.
Right hand, you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Right, we're here with regard to off-street parking, dilapidated fencing, working without permits, and we were here last month, and we were supposed to be in compliance by February 3rd.
Yes, sir.
And why are we here again?
Mr. Council, report from the Mr. Council, report from the inspector is that there's been no change. There's no permits and nothing new has been done.
Okay, Mr. Carvalho, the city tells us there's been no change in status and they're looking for the imposition of a fine. What say you to that?
I have everything for the permits here to be submitted. I went down on the 26th. And they wouldn't accept it because they need my mother here. She's not capable of coming. And down in the permit department, they told me to get a contractor to submit it for me. And I had one yesterday, but it turned out all he had was for concrete. He misunderstood. But I have Ray Luce contracting. He's coming this afternoon to file the permits. I mean, I have all the paper, the site plans. I mean, a survey. The certified plans for the building. Everything's all filled out. And
okay. Have we taken care of the off-street parking and the dilapidated fencing?
Yes.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector. My credentials are on file with the city. As of yesterday, the parking was corrected. The fencing has been corrected. The parking violation comes and goes, ebbs and flows, however you want to say it. However, yesterday was in compliance, and he is still waiting for, like you said, the permit. So everything.
Do you need the permits to do?
It was for the building. I had to accompany Southeast Outdoor Products put up the building and never pulled the permit.
Gotcha.
And then I need
so
the permit.
You get the permit to cure that.
Yes. Yeah. That's what this is for.
All right. I'm going to amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 2, 2016 to come into compliance, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And let me give you a friendly warning. If the inspector rides by and you got more cars parked there or you've got the off-street parking, we have a problem. So as long as everyone's cooperating and working toward getting this resolved, fine, we can all be civilized. But like I said, if the off-street parking is going to be a recurring issue, then that's going to be a problem. All right, good luck to you. Case number 4, Willis McDuffie.
Willis McDuffie.
Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Would please stay the gentleman. We're here for the imposition of the fine. We'll say the city.
Mr. Calder, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the accessory structures taken care of, the parking is still occurring, and the respondent remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a fine of $150 per day to a maximum of $10,000.
Okay, what about this violation is still continuing, or these violations are still continuing?
And I turn to Mr. Stinson.
Good morning again, John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file with the city. The off-street parking is still continuing. As you can see, that picture's from yesterday, the Corvette. There's another car off to that one there.
So we're basically parking in the front yard?
Yes, sir.
Off the driveway?
Yes, sir.
It looks like you haven't been for quite a while.
Yes, sir.
Okay, what say Mr. McDuffie?
That's my son's car. He got here last week in a Corvette. I got nowhere to put it. I've gotten rid of a little SUV that I had for my grandkids to drive to school. Gave it away because I couldn't put another tag on it. Got nowhere to park it. Got permission from the people next door to put my work truck over there in that driveway. So that car, my son's car, just been there a few days. He only got here Tuesday. I filed my taxes to try to get that. Instead of fixing my truck, putting the engine in my gray truck, I'm going to do the driveway. Trying to get somebody to do the survey. I didn't know the survey was $300 to $500. But the cheapest I got on was $400. And somebody advertised one of $225. I called him, told him what I needed for to get a driveway permit. It went to $400. And I filed my taxes. I haven't gotten them back yet. But I was going to use that money for my truck. Instead, I'm trying to put it in a driveway so I can satisfy the city. And they rejected it twice. They accepted it on the 1st of this month. And I filed it after I got my papers back on the 21st of last month.
Accepted what?
My taxes. They rejected it twice. So I'm trying to get that money so I can put it into get my driveway done.
Where are you putting another driveway?
On the right side over there. They told me I drew a sketch of it and brought it down to the planning here. They say, well, you got to get a survey. You get a survey, bring it back, and then we can approve the driveway so you can put the driveway there. The one on the other side of the yard is just dilapidated, and I need to just tear it out. It's not really a driveway. It's a little two concrete strips that your tires go on. That's all that's over there where that white truck is.
Did this house not have a driveway originally?
That's all it had, those two little strips right there. That's all the houses in that area's got, unless somebody's redone the driveways. Every house in that area came with that same thing you see there. A lot of them has been redone, except mine. I didn't,
Do you have
a garage?
Nope. Sure don't.
That's it. That's why I want to put one on the other side, on the right side there. That way I can put both my cars there, my truck and my car. But I got an estimate here. You know, the cheapest one I got was about $2,600 to put a driveway in.
Where is his driveway, folks? Can somebody enlighten me?
Well, I'll tell you this much, and
Ever seen a garageless carport in this house?
I kind of remember there being quite a number of them when I was working with the redevelopment board. In fact, they were building a few that the redevelopment area had asked them to stop building. But
where do you park a car at a house that doesn't have a drive?
Landing strips were probably approved. I don't know if they're approved under the current land development code, but they were in the past approved as sufficient for and representative for the parking area or the parking the parking the garage. And so that was what was approved in the prior. As I said, I'm not sure whether that's still approved under the land development code, but obviously you could maintain that. But of course, I understand the desire to tear that out and put something new. And I think it's been indicated that the planning has agreed with him that he can once he gets a survey.
There are many houses in that area got that same thing in yeah. And they're forced to park wherever they can. I mean, it's just nowhere to park. I've got my son and grandsons in school. And four people in the house got cars. So it makes it kind of difficult to just have somewhere to park it. My neighbors next door are all college kids. And they run. I got tracks. If you look at the further back, I've got tracks across my yard. That's where they get to their yard to park. And sometimes there's 7, 8, 10 cars in that yard. And I'm not going to park mine down there so they can hit it. Nobody's owned up to hitting my white truck yet with a park down there near the street.
What am I supposed to find this guy for? Parking in the yard. Secure the accessory structure.
As we said, Mr. McKelvin, parking on the side where he has the surface, even though it's not all that impressive, is what's permitted. Parking in the garage would not be permitted unless he has an improved surface. You'd have to have a driveway.
That's what I'm working on.
So it's not the white truck that's the problem. It's the other vehicles that are being parked on. And this was complained
to me. You have to park in the street?
I'd have to inspect to see if he has that knowledge.
I would have to assume that he can park on the city right of way. I wouldn't tell him to park in the street.
That's pretty much on the street.
The right of way being that part of his property.
Being the
the grass part of his property.
Correct.
Be hauled in the city's right of way.
Yes, sir.
So it's okay to, for him to park on the grass as long as it's the front part of the grass. Within the right of way.
Right up by the street, correct.
It's beyond the right of way, and
yes.
He's parking in the grass.
That's correct.
That gray truck used to be parked on the street, and somebody broke into it, got ready to go to work. Had no tools in it, nothing. And the door, the only way I knew it was somebody had gotten into it when I walked toward the truck. The back window was, you know, slide open, was open. I had no tools in it.
Is shaping up to be one huge
real
excuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to get a driveway.
Apply for a driveway.
Yes.
That's in the works.
Yes, sir.
How long do you anticipate it taking?
A month, maybe, if I can get it on
the
ground.
Once you get the driveway, we're no longer parking on grass.
Right. That's what I want.
And how long do you think it's going to take you to get this permit for the driveway?
Yeah, I'm thinking a couple of weeks, just money coming in my hands. I've got a list of...
And the only thing I'm hearing about right now is one other vehicle that's on the yard because you've taken care of all the others.
Right.
And you're telling me that one's there temporarily.
Well, he works in Atlanta. And he's down here doing some testing and stuff. He works with the Examinetics where he traveled all over the U.S. doing medical examination. So I'm not thinking that car's going to be here long. Maybe a week or two tops.
But in any event, you're in the process of getting this right away.
Right.
I'm going to return a number of non-compliance to allow the response until March 2, 2016. Coming to compliance will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Let's try to get the driveway in place as quickly as possible.
I will.
Because it looks as though that's the only cure that we have.
Yes. Thank you.
Case number 5, Larry Brown and Abner Brown.
Good morning.
Can you say your name?
Abner Brown.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine. Let's say the city.
Mr. McCutcheon, you may recall this gentleman was here before, expressed that he had a friend that became a tenant that would not leave on the property and working on an eviction. The last information that the inspector has, the inspector is John Stinson. He reports that and I believe it was followed up and checked on by the board secretary that litigation is still going forward. It's the eviction, so it appears he's moving forward in good faith, at least with trying to evict the tenant. Without the eviction, it would appear that the things that are necessary for the violation to be remedied will continue to be delayed. So we believe he's going forward in good faith, and we're to come into compliance.
When I went to the court, the last time I was here, because I don't stay in Volusia County. I stay down south, and it's kind of hard for me to make it up and down this way. the judge said because of what was going on here, they told me that I won the case. They gave me the money of the case. And when I came here to pay for the eviction, the judge put it on hold. And then they told me that I had to refile a whole new case. So I'm doing that now. That's what you probably heard. And then I actually had somebody go to the house 2 weeks ago to fix the problems. I got a friend of the family to handle this situation in town. And they were told they cannot enter the premises by the tenant. So it's just a big problem on my
taking 1 month at a time. All right, I'll amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until March 2, 2016. The non-compliance order will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. So you have refiled your eviction.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And if everything goes okay or properly,
it should be in the teens of this month. Because that's when I officially filed the new one last month, trying to get a clarification from the judge. It took me a while for that. And
so if everything goes the way it's supposed to, the tenant will be out by when?
I would say the latest is the 19th, because I did it the 16th of this month. So.
Very good. All right. Good luck to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Case number 6, Michael J. Ford. Anyone here for the response?
Say the inspector reports, Mr. Kelcher, that the inspector's John Stinson, and reports that the respondent is moving forward in good faith, and he's requesting that we amend to the next cutoff. And I'll ask Mr. Stinson to speak to any questions you have as far as factual.
Works for me. So I assume you're satisfied with the respondent's efforts.
Yes, sir.
We will amend our current order of non-compliance to allow the respondent until March 2, 2016. We'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 7, Ramonis Georges LLC and 2B 2G Corporation. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelcher, this was. I'm sorry, let me wait on the inspector. He was to check on a couple of things that I need to be able to report. Mr. Kelcher, this is before you've been positioned to find the inspector, Cliff Reconcile. I acknowledge that I think last month, what's my guy's name? Oh, yes, 2 months ago, Brett Hartley was here on their behalf. We hadn't heard from anyone. The inspector has advised that he's followed up with permits to see if they filed anything regarding the sign removal, and nothing has been filed, and they remain in non-compliance. So the staff is requesting a $200 per day fine to a maximum of $25,000.
How much per day?
$200 per day. That's across from.
That's right behind the old Razzles, the old Aqua building. That nightclub.
That long.
Yes.
Ugly building.
Yes.
North of Razzles.
Yes.
Some kind of comedy club or something?
It's a comedy club, and they took half of the portion of it to remodel it for a new bar.
It's one of the newer bikini bars in the city. And
so the sign we're talking about is what, a pole sign, or is it?
So you can see right there, that's the remains of the sign that's never been removed, and it continues to sit there.
Do you have any understanding as why they won't just remove the sign, the poles?
when I explained to them when they had the demo permit, when I explained to them they had the demo permit that they need to get rid of the two poles because they were so badly damaged, they put sleeves over the poles instead of removing them, said they were going to put a new sign up. During October, they pulled the sign permit, so I was waiting to see what happened with that sign permit. They used that sign permit for posters for Bike Week. They haven't pulled any new sign permits. I've talked with them two or three times since then, tell them that they need to at least pull the permit. So we, so it. Right.
Who are you speaking to, the business or the property owner?
What kind of shape are these? How tall are these poles?
They're at least 40 feet up in the air.
What kind of shape are they?
They have those metal sleeves over them now, so.
So what does that mean?
They're in solid condition.
So they're not going to fall over?
No.
They didn't even call the property you're talking about. In my recollection, was everything in the property was deteriorating.
They had permits, and the original case was working without permits, and the signs. They pulled all the permits. They've been doing a lot of construction on the property, construction and remodeling.
All right. Well, in the absence of the respondent, I'm finding the respondent the sum of $200 per day, commencing February 4, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine is reached the sum of $25,000. Case number 8, Black Tide USA LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. McKelvey, this is also before you for imposition of a fine. The respondent in this case, They applied for a permit. The permit has not been issued yet. We're asking to amend to the next cutoff for them to come into compliance.
Let's go back to Ramona's Georges for a minute. You've been after them to fix that sign since August of last year?
Yes.
Okay, very good. All right, can I extend this one to the next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
All right, returning to Black Tide USA, based on the request of the city, we will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until March 2, 2016. To be returned to the compliance order, to return to the special manager for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Case number 9, Tugget and Pieball LLC, DBA Heritage Inn.
Kenneth Bohanna for the respondent, Your Honor.
Are you going to testify?
I'm not sure.
Let me go ahead and swear your name, please. Can you state your name, please?
Praveen Patel.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Minutes to indicate, Mr. Bohanna stated he would like to know what has not been done, and still outstanding, and he believed there was only one thing that remains to be done. After the violations, the building had been completed, and what was still outstanding, the only major thing that remained was the roof. Going through financing to replace the roof would be 2 or 3 months. I was asking for an extension for 2 months to obtain financing, 1 month to complete the work. According to Mr. Jackson, he heard this before. And the inspector wants to make sure that the work done prior to a contractor coming on board was done properly. We continue to allow the inspector to view the property. We're now back to the
Mr. Kelger, the inspector in this case is again Mr. Reckonzone, and he reports that indeed while we had a conflict among the contractors between the original contractor and the sisters to how far along they was, his reinspection indicates that he confirms the representations that were made by Mr. Patel and his counsel at the last meeting that they are very far along and that they are approaching compliance, and he's willing to give them the additional time to comply. So an additional month, he believes, will be probably sufficient for them to reach compliance. I said 1 month. The 3 months that they had requested before, he said, will be reasonable for what they have remaining. And I would tender Mr. Reckonzone for any factual questions.
The city is amenable to March, April, or May compliance
date? May compliance date, sir.
All right. Let's see the response.
His recommendation sounds appropriate for the amount of work and the financing that's needed for it.
So we're all on board?
Yes, sir.
Very good. We will amend our current order of noncompliance. We'll allow respondents to make order 2016 in compliance. We'll be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck.
Thank you. I have nothing further. May I be excused?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Hope you get out.
Case number 10 is in compliance. Case number 11, 905 Redwood Land Trust, care of TRSTE LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, we'll save the city.
Mr. Calder, this is before you for imposition of a fine plus the $250
why is it nobody
else? Administrative fee.
Is that what it is?
Yes, yes, sir. The inspector reports that the property remains in non-compliance. This was a complaint-driven violation. It's been since November 16, 2015. The inspector is requesting $200 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Street parking, dilapidated.
Plus 250.
Yep, that's right. No premises identification, no business tax receipt. Have we had any communication with the respondent?
No, sir.
Okay. As in none, or they're just not cooperating?
Neither. There's been no contact, and conditions have not changed.
Fine requested was what?
$200 fine.
To a maximum of what?
15.
To a maximum of 15,000 plus the $250 mixture.
Okay. And that's for failing to obtain the business tax receipt?
Yes, sir.
That's an awkward title for something. Okay. Noting the absence of the respondent based upon the city's presentation and the testimony of our inspector, I'm finding the respondent a sum of $200 per day. Commencing February 4, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is either in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches $15,000. And in addition to that, I'm further ordering the respondent to pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to secure its business tax receipt. Okay, new cases. Case number 12, La Phillip Incorporated. All right, yes, sir. Can you please step up, state your name, and be sworn?
Khalid Afghan.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. And your affiliation with La Phillip Incorporated?
I'm the president.
Okay. And do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent non-compliance. All right, and I'm sorry, your last name again?
Afghani.
Afghani? Yes. All right, Mr. Afghani, let's hear from the city as far as how much time they think it should take to come into compliance, then I'll ask you the same question. Okay, Mr. Jackson, how much time does the city think should reasonably be required for the respondent to come into compliance?
Mr. McCallum, the inspector is John Stinson. He reports that the property can be in compliance by next cutoff, and so that's the recommendation.
All right. The city is thinking you ought to be able to have all this work done by March 2, 2016. What do you think?
Yes, sir. We pulled a permit and they did the work. We hoping today they will do the inspection, the final inspection.
Very good. All right. I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Stay in touch with your inspector. Case number 13, Joanne Howe, or Huff?
Huff.
Can you please state your name and be sworn?
Joanne Huff.
Can you raise your right hand, please, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth? Tell us about the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Ms. Huff, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, sir.
All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. All right. Let's hear from the city as far as how much time they think it should take for you to come into compliance. Then I'll ask you the same question. Let's say the city.
Mr. Calder, this is a complaint-driven violation. The inspector says that the respondent can come into compliance by next cutoff. There is some concern and she has a very difficult time throwing anything away. And that's just the major concern on our ability to get this in compliance.
Okay. All right. Ms. Huff, the city seems to think you ought to be able to come into compliance by March 2, 2016. What do you say?
I agree. Most definitely.
Most definitely.
All right.
All right. I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2016 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right, ma'am.
That's March 16?
March 2, 2016. And when you get these things done, you contact your inspector over there, and he'll, as soon as he confirms all this is done, then you're finished.
Okay. I just want to, can I just say one thing about the notice that I got?
Right ahead.
Okay. This came in the mail, and the postman evidently didn't ring my doorbell, because I'm always home in the morning. Anyway, I thought it was a shed that I had let go, not paying on, and I thought it was for the auction. So I called them and asked them. There's nothing on here that says who it's from. The second notice I got says from the police department, City of Daytona Beach. But this one has nothing on it. And so she said, we did send you a letter. Just disregard it because I came in and I paid the money on the shed. So that's why I didn't pick this up at the post office. And I guess Mr. Stinson or someone put the notice on my door the following month, because I had not picked up the letter.
Okay.
So I just want you to know that that whole month I was unaware of.
We're not holding it against you.
Pardon?
We're not holding it
against
you.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank
Good
you.
Luck to
I'm
you.
Very sorry. Thank
it's
you.
All right. Case number 14, George Smalls Jr. and Vincent Smalls. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. Fakelja, the inspector in this case is John Stinson, reports that the property remains in non-compliance and that it can be in compliance. He believes it can be in compliance by next cutoff.
Noting the absence of the respondent, based upon our city's presentation and our inspector's report, I find the property to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2016. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 15, trust number 731, care of Dennis Riggins, trustee. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Again, the inspector for this case is John Stinson. He reports that the property remains in noncompliance and he requests next cutoff for the compliance state.
But in the absence of a respondent, based upon the city's presentation and our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2016 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 16, Leo Abbott Dolphin. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
This property is before you for finding of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Cliff Reconzone, and the inspector reports that this property remains in non-compliance, and he requests next cutoff for compliance date.
In the absence of a respondent, based upon the city's presentation and the inspector's report, I find the respondent in non-compliance. Word of the respondent to come into compliance by March 2. 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 17, Vishnu LTD.
Good morning, Your Honor.
If you would please state your name and be sworn.
Anna Comandi.
What was your last name?
Anna Comandi.
K-A-M-O-N-D-I.
D.I.? Yes.
Okay. Can you raise your right hand, please, ma'am? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Your affiliation with Vishnu LTD?
Yes, sir.
And what is your position with them?
GM.
Okay. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. Then I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Let's hear from the city as far as how much time it should take to come into compliance. What say Mr. Jackson?
Mr. Kelcher, the inspector for this property is Cliff Reconzone. Mr. Reconzone reports that the property remains in non-compliance and can be in compliance by next cutoff. He says he's had previous communication with the property manager once where they asked for additional time, but other than that, he hadn't had any real communication with him.
All right, the city is suggesting you ought to be able to come into compliance by March 2, 2016. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Pardon?
Absolutely. I thought we already did because we're talking about offense, and we sent Bless to Red Offense. We did everything. We painted, but actually they're talking about a picket fence, I think, yes?
We're talking about the seawall.
A seawall we painted it white.
It's not.
Both sides. I have it on picture. Hold that second.
Sorry.
I don't know why we even have we paint everything. We paint the sea, white, snow white.
Okay, but what I'm talking about is the in some of it's painted.
No, that's what I.
Some of it's protected. Some of it's protected. Some of it's not protected. Some of it's
that
damaged.
We it.
Right.
There's. Need to get
yeah, we're gonna have to get together to show exactly what's wrong with the fence, but it should be all finished by next month.
Do we think we have an understanding as to what the misunderstanding
yes.
is?
Yes. Yes. We do.
Do we still think it's doable by March 2?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Yes.
Okay. All right. Have I responded to the clients?
Yeah.
All right, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by March 2, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter.
Make the whole thing one. In other words, make things
all
like
they know exactly what they're doing. Okay. Is there any miscellaneous business to be brought before the special magistrate?
No, sir, nothing further.
All right, if not, return.